Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. Today, I want to give an encouragement to all of you in light of the upcoming election. You probably know enough about me to think that you don't want to hear this, but I really do want to offer encouragement and positivity right now. So on the off chance that you're already about to delete this episode because you heard what I was talking about, I want to distill the message of this episode down as simply as I can, and it's this. Jesus is on the throne no matter what, so don't worry. Now, that may sound completely insane to anyone who's also living in the year 2020, but I hope I can unpack as I go on a little more what I mean by that. I wanted to give you my most concise, pithy encouragement up front because not everything I have to say today is directly related, but there are just a lot of things going on right now, but they're all kind of under that one point that I just made, that Jesus is on the throne no matter what. The first thing that should comfort you is that it doesn't really affect you much either way who wins. Like, yeah, there are some differences between the candidates. Like, for instance, if Biden wins, then America is starting a new war. That's for certain. But there's not a whole lot that sets them apart from each other. You know, Trump resided over and bragged about the largest wealth transfer in the history of the world. You know, like, doesn't that sound like something Obama would do? When the chips are down, these guys do not actually have your best interest in mind. But we kind of act like they do. Like, we put a lot of hope in candidates like this. And they continue to put our country further into debt and inflate and devalue the dollar. They're stealing value away from your dollar. Like, your bank account is worth less and less every single day, even if the dollar amount doesn't change. They're stealing from you. We're going to pay the bill for that $3 trillion stimulus through inflation, probably. And they didn't do it for you. They did it to fund things they wanted to fund that you don't care about. So I know this is coming off as pessimistic, which is the opposite of what I'm trying to accomplish here, but I need you to realize that these guys aren't that different. You know, that's the key to not being worried about this election. I'm going to come back to that point probably over and over again, but I'm going to move on right now to a few other things. Trump posted a few tweets last week, and they were all rapid fire and uppercase, and they all ended with the word vote. So two of them that struck me as funny, one ended with bring our soldiers home, vote, and the other one was pro-life, vote. And it's just funny to me that an incumbent president can throw things around that he ran on 4 years ago and failed to accomplish, and people will probably vote for him again on the basis of those same failed promises. I'm not saying he hasn't done anything in those two areas, but of the many things that he ran on, abortion and war were up there, and murdering children in the womb is still legal. Still totally legal. And aside from a few troops here and there, he hasn't done much to draw back our military presence in other countries. So why would you throw those out as reasons to vote for you? Like, you already ran on those issues and things are basically the same. So what he mostly ran on was building a freaking wall. And I think we all know how that went too. So it's not like he's going out and saying that anymore. I don't vote for pro-abortion candidates. That's the main reason why I've never voted for a libertarian candidate, aside from the primaries. I did vote for Austin Peterson and Jacob Hornberger because they are anti-abortion candidates. And it's why I won't be voting for a libertarian candidate this time in the general election. That being said, you should know, so you know I care about that issue, but you should know that the president has almost no authority over that issue. But the president appoints the Supreme Court justices. Yeah, that's true, I guess, and the Supreme Court doesn't make laws. Congress makes laws. So, you know, believe it or not, they could overturn Roe v. Wade tomorrow, and abortion would still be legal, because the pro-life groups have spent so much time getting legislation passed that regulates abortion that now, you know, there are certain laws on the books that regulate it. So now even the Supreme Court decision going away would make it legal still. You know, there are rules about how early you can do an abortion and where the sink needs to be installed. And because of these laws, it doesn't matter what happens with a Supreme Court ruling. So great job on that, by the way. Ultimately, the abolition of abortion has to go the exact way that the legalization of marijuana did. States need to stand up to the federal government and say, we're not allowing this here. They can risk losing their federal funding, but we all know that the Fed is eventually going to stand down if states actually stood up to them. And when the majority of states do this, a lot of the other states will probably follow along. So really, it's only going to take a couple of them to get the ball rolling. And the president's going to have nothing to do with that. In fact, red states would probably be a little more emboldened to do such a thing if there were a Democrat president in office. There's this weird phenomenon where even some pretty principled people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul want to support Trump just because he's a Republican. But, you know, what is the point of having a party if there aren't principles defining the party, right? Like, why are you willing to sell out just for the sake of the name Republican? Anyways, back to my point. There will not be as many shakeups like that, you know, of the nature that we're referring to, while a Republican is in office. Red states do not want to piss off Trump because he's technically on the same team. And they care more about the team than about the principles. But they wouldn't care as much about pissing off Biden because he's on a different team. So I know it sounds unlikely to you, but believe me, we have better odds of things we want getting done if the Republicans are not in control. Because then the Republicans are going to feel like an oppressed minority and they're probably going to act out a little. And that's ultimately the problem with Republicans. They give a lot of lip service to things that I love, like the Second Amendment. But then Trump goes and bans bump stocks. So they're not who you think they are. They're not who you think they are. They're marketing themselves to a specific demographic, and you fell for it. And that's all. And that's not a knock against you. There's an inherent desire in us to idolize and cherish the man in charge. But there's also a natural revulsion to authority within us because of our sin nature. So that's why the same exact person can love one president and hate the next, even if they're pretty similar rulers. Like between 2015 and 2019, obviously we have to talk pre-lockdown here, but between the tail end of Obama's last term and 2019, what was really different for you? Like, was anything that different? And yet there are people who would punch and stab people in a crowd just to touch Obama on the fringe of his garment. And that same exact person thinks Trump is Hitler and should be removed from office. Like, there are just too many similarities between Biden and Trump for me to fret over, like, over who wins this election. There's also the issue of social unrest. For those of you voting for Trump, let me put your minds at ease. On the off chance that Biden wins, at least social unrest will generally die down. Like, yes, both sides occasionally act immature, and there's a riot here or there, but there is absolutely no question which side of the aisle is more known for rioting and civil unrest. The left was threatening to riot because an old Supreme Court justice died of cancer. They will riot over anything, okay? If Trump wins, there will be riots from coast to coast. But if Biden wins, that will probably go away a little. I can't say for sure it'll be non-existent, but I think it will largely be a thing of the past until, you know, of course, the next Republican takes office, then we can expect it to be back. We can't really have a conversation like this about this election without talking about the lockdown, though. And I know I said I wouldn't talk about it anymore, but I did make it 8 episodes without mentioning it, so I think that should count for something. But in reality, I can't avoid talking about something that affects every person in the country from one degree or the other. So how will the election affect the lockdown? Well, unfortunately, I don't think it will. People have been saying pretty much since the beginning that this was a ploy by the Democrats to ruin the election for Trump, and I never really bought it. And I'll be honest with you, I started to buy it when I saw a few articles that were saying we might be able to start letting up on the restrictions around late October, early November. That's when I started reconsidering it. I started thinking like, oh man, like this could actually have all been an artificial, you know, coup to ruin the election. So at that point I was saying this is either going to end the day after the election or it's going to go on for another 2 years. And now I realize America was one of the last countries to lock down. So the idea that this was formulated by the Democrats is a little anachronistic. So I'm not saying the government didn't totally take advantage of it when it happened, but I don't think it's artificial. I don't think it was, you know, completely formulated by the government. And Trump is the one who declared a state of emergency, by the way, just to go a little further in showing how similar both sides of this are. Like, he pretty much started this whole thing. Like, declaring a state of emergency basically gave the authority over to certain people to make really bad calls, which flies in the face of the idea that Trump doesn't take the virus seriously. People say he doesn't believe in it. There's a phone call of him saying how he knew how serious it was and he didn't want to panic people. And he declared a state of emergency. Like, obviously that guy believes it's serious, you know? It's like so stupid to say that he doesn't believe in it. A little rabbit trail there. But how is the election going to affect the lockdown? Well, I don't think it will. Back in March, we locked down just for 2 weeks because Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, and now it's October and we have to keep wearing masks because we're trying to spread democracy and freedom to the Iraqi people. I might be mixing up some details with another time the government lied to you, but I'm pretty sure that's what's been going on this year. It's hard to remember things from March, but that's the thing that really gets to me. Like, I understand worrying about your health and worrying about your family's health, worrying about other people. Like, I can excuse a great many actions for motives like that. The part I simply cannot understand is the part about believing the government. You know, like when the lockdown started, I didn't know for sure, but I knew there was something off. I knew we were being lied to somehow. So I was saying like, oh yeah, this is just like that other time the government told us the truth. Oh wait, there was no time like that ever. So like, why are we listening to them? And why are we going this far for anything that they're saying as if it's ever been the right decision? It never has. And it still hasn't been. Some people can't believe religion still exists in 2020. I can't believe people still believe the government in 2020. Like, this country is the memory of a goldfish. Seriously? Anyways, where was I? The election is not going to affect the masks or lockdown restrictions because, you know, the president is not ultimately the one controlling it. Like, California is the way it is because of Gavin Newsom, the governor. And I'm in Oklahoma City, and they're just as superstitious here as California is, you know, when it comes to the masks. And it's the city council that decided on the mask mandate here because the governor didn't want to take away like people's freedoms. Yeah, you know, imagine that. So the city council keeps extending the mask mandate. And every time we get to the expiration date, they keep extending it. So a new president is not going to change that. Like, Biden might make it a little worse. Like, I'll definitely grant you that. He definitely has plans to be a lot more strict. But again, you've always got the possibility that conservatives will be more willing to buck authority if there's a Democrat in the office, you know? So, you know, even who wins the election is going to be an issue of contention. There's going to be suspicion cast on the results of the election. The left just spent 4 years filling people's heads with nonsense about a Russian collusion and hashtagging not my president. So they clearly have a history of not accepting the results of elections that don't go in their favor. They're also quick to throw out that Hillary won the popular vote. But the reality is that if the roles were reversed and Trump had lost the electorate and won the popular vote, the left would probably be the ones lauding the Electoral College and explaining why we need it. So, you know, it's just funny that, you know, similar to the lockdowns, like if Trump had declared a state of emergency in January and demanded a lockdown, the left probably would have called him a tyrant. And now it would be the left that is not wearing masks and, you know, protesting the lockdowns. Like, it's just, that shows you how unprincipled both sides are, that depending on the circumstances, their roles could be totally reversed. That's the reality. On the other hand, Trump is already casting suspicion on the mail-in ballots for this election, so I think it's more than likely that if Biden wins, Trump will call BS and say that it was rigged. So my point is, no matter who wins, there's going to be a certain amount of pissiness, and, you know, I don't use that word lightly, and attempts to delegitimize the duly elected president of the United States. However, one side is merely pissy, and the other side is pissy and they're rioting. So if you're voting for Trump, let me encourage you that even if he loses, at least the rioting might come to a lull. But we don't know. It's been almost 100 years since a president has won an election without winning Florida. So I would keep my eye on Florida. Calvin Coolidge, I think, was the last person to win without Florida voting for him. But it's one of the largest swing states, so it often determines the outcome of the election. Biden is leading in Florida right now, but after 2016, we know that we can't trust those polls. At this point in the last election, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that Clinton was going to win it. And that just goes to show you how we don't know anything. So then I was, you know, I remember that night. I was at High Park Tap House watching the beginning of the election with a big prime rib sandwich and a big beer, and I saw Florida turn red, and I just saw the faces of the news anchors just change, like they just knew the country had changed, and, you know, not that it really did, but some things, politics changed for sure. And I just couldn't believe it. I was almost giddy, even though I didn't vote for Trump. I was almost excited he was winning because it was so unexpected. And I just hated Hillary Clinton so much. And I just couldn't wait to see the look of defeat on her stupid baby blood drinking face. So I went home after dinner and I drank some bourbon and I ate copious amounts of baby carrots for the rest of the night. And I watched him win that election and give that speech. And it was a pretty historical night, and it's weird that even though I didn't want him to be president, it was kind of fascinating to watch. And it's also the reason I don't eat baby carrots anymore. I ate too many, and they kept going up the back of my nose and stuff, and I think about that every time I eat carrots now. So a little fact about me. But that just goes to show that polls they take ahead of the election don't actually reflect how people are going to vote at all. But I would keep your eye on Florida. I guess in this election, we're not actually going to have the results on the actual night of the election, but throughout the following week or whatever, however they do it, keep your eye on Florida because that will almost certainly determine the outcome. But neither one of these guys is really going to change anything, which has kind of been my whole point. I'm sure most of my listeners vote Republican, so I'll just address you specifically. Joe Biden is not Bernie Sanders, all right? Like, the reason Biden was chosen and the primary was rigged against Sanders the way that it was is because that's who the establishment wanted. Like, we need someone who isn't going to end the wars. We need someone who's not going to affect monetary policy. We need someone who's going to let us take more and more control. That's why they picked him. The problem with Sanders is that I think Sanders really believes the things he says, and that makes him incredibly dangerous to the establishment. Like, don't get me wrong, he's a hypocrite for being worth as much money as he is and then wanting to go after other people's wealth, but he supported deregulation in the pharmaceutical industry. you know, the point was to allow people to buy drugs from other countries because it would actually make some drugs more affordable for people. So even though deregulation kind of flies in the face of what he's all about, he was principled enough about cheaper drugs to back that kind of deregulation. It's another rabbit trail, but like it just goes to show that like Bernie Sanders actually is a principled person, even if he's wrong 99% of the time. My point is, Biden is not going to be this earth-shattering presence in the White House who forever changes the course of history, and neither is Kamala Harris. Like, Harris has a record of law and order that would make any racist, authoritarian neocon, like, extremely proud. Neither of those people will be any good for the country, but neither of them are going to be the end of days. You know, we all thought Obama was the end of days, and then everyone had stars and stripes in their eyes when Trump won. You see, like, I'm just trying to give you some perspective and show you it's not as bad as it seems. You know how they say, like, no matter who you vote for, you get John McCain? It's like that. Whoever wins this election, we're not ending the wars, we're not ending the Fed, we're not going to audit the IRS, abortion will still be legal, and the media will still be manipulating all of you into hating each other. So what's my point in saying that? Like, how is that optimistic? Well, it's not in some ways, and in some ways it is. Like, there's always the possibility that the U.S. will repent of their wickedness and as a nation turn toward God. Hell, I would never rule that possibility out because stranger things have happened. But what's more likely? You know, well, if you account for the financial and spiritual state of affairs in this nation, we have every single symptom of an empire that has come to the end of its reign and is about to fall. You know, I know that's scary, but like no empire has ever survived what America is doing to itself. We've been destroying our economy for over 100 years. We have military involvement all over the planet. We're murdering hundreds of thousands of children every single year in the womb. We don't believe in truth anymore. And to top it all off, like a large portion of our country wants socialism, which has never failed to starve lots and lots of people. So it kind of looks like we're on our way out. And like there's not really any way to sustain this. And I hope I'm wrong, but that's how it looks. And that is why people misunderstand entirely why I'm a postmillennialist. They say that, you know, what's going on all around us, you know, is proof that I'm wrong. And people think that, you know, I'm a postmillennialist because I believe that everything is getting like rosier every single day. Everything's better every day. And it's in ways that are discernible and ways that we can all agree on objectively. But it's not that simple. I'm postmillennialist because I believe no matter what happens, Jesus's enemies are being made a footstool for his feet and his kingdom is advancing. The Bible says that he's going to be at the right hand of the Father until all of his enemies are defeated. So that's what I believe. That's my eschatology. But do you actually believe that in every scenario? Like, what if, you know, America fell? Would you believe it then? Yes, I would believe it then. Worst case scenario for people who live in this country is that America falls. And I still believe it's God's will for the furthering of his kingdom. You know, we see in Acts, and likewise throughout the last like 2,000 years of church history, that harsh persecutions of the church multiply and strengthen the church. Indeed, Tertullian said that the seed of the church is the blood of the martyrs. So if America fell, the church worldwide would be strengthened through that. I know that doesn't make sense, but that's how it works. Not everyone in America is going to die. Most would probably relocate, which would mean that some legitimate Christians would be going into other countries that might be lacking the gospel. I'm obviously not saying that all Americans are Christians, but if you took Americans at random, a good number of them could probably be found to be legitimate Christians. Liberty-mindedness and a more capitalistic mindset would also be going into other countries that might be lacking those things. Again, not that America really practices capitalism. America practices cronyism, which is not capitalism, but the people here think that we practice capitalism, and that might actually spread to other cultures and have a positive impact. Any nation the U.S. is currently at war with would suddenly be free from that oppression. and therefore all of the many conflicts in the world resulting from American conflicts would also cease to exist, which would be a very positive thing worldwide. Obviously, and I think this should go without saying, but I still feel like I need to say it, America falling would be a horrible thing, and I wouldn't relish that at all. And I probably wouldn't survive it. But what I am saying is that people look at the downfall of America like that's the downfall of the world, and it wouldn't be. Empires rise and fall all throughout history, and it's nothing new. America is a footnote in the history of the world. I think John Piper said that during the last election. But my point, as always, is that Jesus is on the throne and is already victorious over sin, death, and everything else. That's true if he grants this nation repentance and a change of heart, and it's true if he destroys America too. Everything that happens is furthering his kingdom and expanding his government. Now that's a government that I would like to see expand and grow bigger and bigger. Now you may feel like I've sidetracked with that whole point just now about the downfall of America, but I haven't. But you didn't think I was when you clicked on the episode an encouragement during the election season, I bet you didn't think that I'd be talking about the upsides of the downfall of America. But you never know with me. You never know where I'm going to go. My intent was to give you an encouragement, and you know, that's a very hard thing to come by these days. I want to give you an encouragement that things will more or less stay the same for the next 4 years, no matter who is elected next month. And that might actually be a discouragement. But for those of you who are afraid of changes, then don't worry. Those kind of changes are not coming. For those of you who are worried about things staying the same, well, that's something to worry about. But the same people are running the government, no matter who the president is, no matter who has a majority in the House and the Senate. Statists are running the government. People who want to expand the government, control the money, and therefore control you. That's who's in charge, and no matter which party they represent, that's the party in charge. So I'm not voting in this election. I know people don't like that. I couldn't get behind any of the candidates, including the Libertarian Party. Normally I would still vote for props and stuff, but I just moved here to Oklahoma and I didn't feel it was fair for me to come in here and immediately start voting on things, so I'm sitting this one out. A lot of people are going to be offended by this stance because this is the most important election of our lifetimes and it's really going to matter. And newsflash, every election in my lifetime has been the most important election, and every single one of them was supposed to change the course of history, and none of them did. It never turns out that way. If Democrats were in office when 9/11 happened, we still would have gone to war. We would still have the Patriot Act. If the numerous recessions had happened under Democrats, we definitely still would have solved the problems with printing more money and inflating our currency. And if the lockdown had happened under a Democratic president, the exact same things would have taken place all year. Republicans would have done all the same things Obama did. It's not really a party issue. It's an issue of principle. And no one who will ever be president of this country has the principles necessary to do what's right for you. That's just a fact. So take a load off. Don't put too much stock in this. You know, vote if you want to vote. Obviously, I would never look down on you or discourage you from voting. I vote most of the time, even though I don't really believe in democracy. But, you know, don't go out and riot if Trump wins. And don't go hide in your bomb shelter if Biden wins. It's going to be all right, even if it isn't, you know? That's a term I've been throwing around a little bit lately. It's going to be all right, even if it isn't. I feel like I heard that somewhere. I feel like I stole that from like a Lifetime movie or something. All right, on that note, it's going to conclude this week's episode. Go ahead and support the show for $4 a month by going to patreon.com/deathofdeath, if that's something that interests you. I recently did an exclusive Patreon episode about the music of Bad Religion, so if that's something that might be up before this one, but that's probably going to come after, so if you want to hear that, sign up. Follow the show at Death of Death Pod on all three main social media outlets. Subscribe to the newsletter on the homepage of deathofdeath.net and head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review. I appreciate you listening and everything that you guys do for the show. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you not to worry. And if you're as committed to Christ's victory as I am, I'll be here to do it with you all again next week. Goodbye for now.